You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, our Wednesday edition, as we get ready for the start of college baseball season Friday. The Tigers back in action, and they'll be in Alec Box Stadium. Looking forward to the action, and it's truly an opening day, Charlie, not a night game there.
Yeah, I think it's a 2 p.m. pitch-off.
2 o'clock start, right?
Yeah, and then like all the games are day games, 1 o'clock on Saturday, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Although Ben McDonald did say that they might push up that Saturday game. A little birdie told him that the weather might be bad this weekend.
Right, we might get a doubleheader Friday. We'll see.
We'll see.
Joining us now, the National College Baseball writer, also does SEC Extra on D1Baseball.com. Happy to welcome in good friend of the program, Joe Healy. Glad to have you back in the mix, man. Football season come to an end, but we've got baseball to save us right now at least.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of weather, I always say that, college baseball season is just around the corner when weather is at its worst. And it feels like, at least where I'm looking at here in the Carolinas, that's the case. So college baseball is just around the corner.
Yeah, I know our folks in programming around here, they love having to deal with all these rain delays and having to switch spots around. It causes a bit of a nightmare, but definitely looking forward to the start of the season for LSU. A number of reasons, they're ranked really high, a lot of expectations going into the year for Jay Johnson for this season, as always here at LSU. But man, oh man, there's a big turnaround for this roster right now.
Yeah, there really is. If there's two teams like this, LSU and Tennessee this season, that in LSU's case, if the name on the jersey didn't say LSU, and if it wasn't Jay Johnson standing in the dugout, they probably wouldn't be ranked where we have them. But it's just an acknowledgement of, hey, these guys are really rolling right now in terms of talent acquisition, talent development. They've won. Like, it's a coaching staff that wins. We just trust that the development is going to come, and obviously they're really talented. So yeah, are there questions? I mean, sure. It's a relatively unproven weekend rotation from an SEC perspective. You're going to need some guys in the lineup to step up and be guys they haven't been asked to be, at least over the last couple of years. So yeah, there's questions, but we're just going to believe that they're going to figure it out until we find out otherwise.
One guy who is back, and I think it's a big surprise for everyone, the Bear, Jared Jones, coming back after 28 home runs last season. How surprised were you to see that this guy didn't get scooped up in the MLB draft?
Yeah, a little bit. Absolutely. And I think two things are in play there. One is that, his and this is not a knock on him. It's just the reality. Like, there are questions about, okay, he's got big time raw power, like 70 grade raw power using a scouting term. But what else does he bring to the table? I think he's a better player than that, but I can understand why MLB organizations were like, I'm just not quite sure. So there's that. But I think this is also an example of what college baseball has to offer right now. If you go back 10 years, maybe 5 years ago, like, there's a pretty good chance Jared Jones gets drafted at some point, and he says, I've done everything I want to do here at LSU. I'm just going to go ahead and start my pro career because it's time. But now, like, with the opportunity to make a little NIL money, with how high profile college baseball is, like, playing at LSU is a big deal. The college baseball just has a really intriguing products to offer players today. So, you know, the three of us could sit here and complain about things we don't like about NIL, transfer portal, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is there's a lot of good things it's brought to college baseball, and having a player like Jared Jones back in college baseball is one of them.
Joe, Steve and I love y'all's content at D1 Baseball, and Jared Jones being the number one preseason first baseman is very exciting because you can just see him, you know, basically replicating his production from last year where he hit 28 home runs. And I think entering this season, a lot of projections have him as one of the best hitters in a loaded SEC. And I mean, that's a guy that's going to slot right in, you know, the top of your lineup at number three or four and just crush the baseball all season long. So we're really looking forward to that. But I think early on, just looking at it, yes, inexperience in SEC play, but the pitching staff on this roster is extraordinarily talented. And I can't wait to see how these guys kind of develop throughout the season. Jay Johnson's kind of let it be known the weekend rotation is set for opening weekend, and we all know that that can change throughout the season ahead of SEC play. But Cade Anderson, the sophomore from Madisonville, who had some run as a freshman last year, is going to be starting on Friday. Anthony Ianson, from the transfer from UC San Diego, will be on Saturday. And then Chase Shores, who is the big variable in all of this, as I'm sure you'd agree with me. D1 had all three of those guys ranked in the top 50 of the top 150 starting pitchers in the nation. Cade Anderson at 17, Anthony Ianson at 27, and Chase Shores at 46. So it's a really intriguing trio to start out the season with. I would just want to get your thoughts on those three.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, don't. And I'm not saying you're saying this, but, you know, for listeners, don't take me saying it's an unproven rotation as me necessarily selling on it. Like, I'm actually buying the rotation because you're right. Like, Cade Anderson got run last year, and for basically any other SEC team, probably would have been a rotation guy from the jump. No pun intended with Gage jump last year. You know, so there's that. Anthony Ianson's a guy with Team USA pedigree, pitched on Team USA over the summer. And I was talking to an evaluator who watched a lot of Team USA, and he said, you know, Anthony Ianson had the best breaking ball of anybody they had out there last summer. So that's going to be a thing. And then with Chase Shores, it's like, yeah, we never doubted the ability, right? It's just an ill-timed injury that cost him a lot of time. And that's one of the realities of college baseball. That's a little bit different than the big leagues, is the season is so short that if you have one of these injuries that the recovery time on it is 12 months or plus, the reality is you could miss basically two seasons because of just the timing of it. So yeah, inexperienced does not mean that it can't be great, because the talent is there for it to be great. And if you're going to make a list beyond just the, hey, we believe in this program, if you're going to make a list of things that give me a lot of faith in LSU, it's that the talent on that pitching staff. And that really goes even as you start to look at the bullpen, because there's some guys who have had some bigger roles on this team from a bullpen standpoint. You know, I think about a guy like Gavin Guidry. Like, yes, he's going to be a big part of it, but they're not asking him to do anything he hasn't already done. They're not looking at him. The talent is such in this pitching staff, they're not looking at him and saying, okay, kid, like, we need you to go out there and throw like 65 innings this season as like a multi-inning reliever. They just know that they have enough depth to where they don't have to get him out of a comfort zone. And that's how you know you're operating at a really high level.
And then Jacob Myers from Nichols is going to be interesting to see how they decide to use him. I remember we were talking with Scott Sanders, a former MLB pitcher, kind of in the offseason. He's very connected with the Nichols program. He watched Jacob Myers be basically the ace of that Nichols staff for back-to-back years. Enters the transfer portal, heads to LSU. And he's not, right off the bat, a weekend rotation starter. But once again, that can change. At the same time, when Sanders was talking about him, he said that the way, you know, his stuff is kind of better suited potentially for maybe a closer role. And I know you mentioned Gavin Guidry as well, but it feels like LSU has a lot of players or a lot of pitchers on that staff that could be starters, but they could also be rotational pieces. It provides a lot of, it's great depth, but it also, it's versatility that Jay Johnson can kind of take advantage of as well.
100%. And yeah, and I think that's some of that's modern college baseball too. I hear more and more about, you know, coaches in the fall who are like, you know what, we're going to train everybody as a starter. And then we're going to go from there, because, you know, we're going to need to stretch guys out anyway and get them kind of ramped up. So let's just train them all as starters and we can sort it out later. So I think some of that is just maybe the way college baseball has gone. But yeah, this staff is particularly strong in that regard. And on Jacob Myers specifically, I tend to agree with the idea that he might be better suited for a closer's role. I mean, hey, let's see him, you know, let's see him do it or not first before we make those declarations. But my personal opinion is that he could be one of the best bullpen weapons in the SEC. The fastball is elite. It is an elite fastball, even on SEC level standards. The issue is just the command. And, you know, when I saw him at Nichols 2 years ago in the regional, when they were in the Tuscaloosa regional, and he started, and he absolutely flummoxed Alabama for about four innings. They had no shot. And then fifth inning rolls around and he starts to lose command of his secondary stuff. And so they're starting to sit on fastball a little bit more. And then, you know, it kind of unraveled a little bit from there. But that was kind of his MO at Nichols, is he wasn't that efficient. And the command really was a little bit of a struggle. And so if you're LSU and you put him in a bullpen situation, like, you could bring him in situations where it's like, hey, we just really need a punch out right now. You know, and as long as he strikes out enough guys before he walks in a run, we're okay with that, because he never gets hit. Like, getting hit is not really the issue with Jacob Myers. It's just, is he going to throw enough strikes? And when you put him in a bullpen role, I do think there's opportunities where you can really maximize his talents.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another guy that is back in this lineup for the LSU Tigers, Stephen Milam, coming into his sophomore season, emerging star last year, finishing, you know, batting .326, 8 home runs, and now Jay Johnson moving him over to shortstop. What do you make of that for Monster Milam?
I'm intrigued by it. He's a guy that, if you made me pick, he might be the guy I'm most interested, returner at least, that I'm most interested to see this season, because when he arrived at LSU, I remember Jay Johnson telling me he's not the most talented guy we have in this recruiting class, but he might be the best ball player we have in this class. And so I kind of thought, okay, he might be a nice piece, but I don't see him as a star. Well, I mean, he performed a lot better as a freshman than I thought he would. He really outshined my expectations for him. And so my thing is, does he have another step? Does he have another step to take, or is this who he is as a player, which would still be obviously fantastic? I think the shortstop thing is just maybe an acknowledgement of hey, maybe, you know, last year, okay, we did the Braswell thing and obviously it went well, but maybe Milam has a higher ceiling defensively at the position, right? And so maybe we can actually get better defensively on the infield if we have someone who has maybe a little bit of a higher skill level than Michael Braswell, who's solid but not spectacular. And the beauty of it is, if it doesn't work out, you just move everybody back around. Like, LSU knows it's a relatively low-risk move. I don't want to put words in their mouth, but that's how I see it, because if they have to move him off shortstop, they have other options they know can play there. Whereas there are other teams that have to kind of shoehorn a shortstop in there because they don't really know if they have one. Not the case with LSU. So I think it's a little bit of like a almost no risk chance to take on maybe Stephen Milam being a superstar in this league who can be an excellent shortstop and provide some thump at the plate.
And out of the, you know, 25 new faces on this team, I think 14 are transfers and 11 are freshmen. And Derek Curiel is one of the kind of highlighted by D1 Baseball as the preseason freshman of the year for 2025, the outfielder. Him and then also William Schmidt. I want to get your thoughts on both of those young players, because, yes, LSU fans are going to need to learn a lot of new faces as far as transfers go, but also this freshman class that Jay Johnson brought in is super talented as well. And those seem like the two highlights as far as a position player and a pitcher.
Yeah, I think Curiel is the one I think that has the highest potential to be an impact guy right away. I mean, that's kind of the feedback I've gotten from people who have, you know, watched him in his prep days and follow recruiting. I don't want to say it's necessarily easier, because it's hard for everybody in the SEC, but as a position player, like, you can get so many reps, you know, just by playing, you know, you play 5 games, you got 15, 20 at bats, you have your legs under you. With a pitcher, it's a little bit harder to fit in there, right? Especially as a young pitcher when you're a little bit further back in the pecking order. So I think they'll get Schmidt innings because I think they'll want to know kind of what they have right now. But that might take a little more time. I think they both have superstar potential in the big picture. But if you're going to take a bet on somebody being a dude right away, my money would be on Curiel.
And then we always talk about it, Joe, every single year. The SEC is fantastic in college baseball, and it seems like it's going to be that the case once again. Texas A&M bringing back a lot of key pieces from, you know, falling just short their runner-up run just this past year in Omaha. They're preseason number one via D1 Baseball, LSU at number 3, Tennessee, the national champions, at number 4, Arkansas at 5, Georgia at 8, and Florida at 10. So that is 6 of your top 10 from the SEC. Kind of what can you expect early on from some of these teams as they kind of get adjusted to the 2025 season ahead of SEC play? And kind of what are your thoughts on those top 6 squads that are already in the top 10 preseason?
I mean, gosh, it's going to be another just absolute battle in the SEC, which goes without saying. Before I totally answer your question, I think about it this way. There's 16 teams in the SEC now, with Texas and Oklahoma included. Outside of Missouri, the other 15 teams kind of expect to make the postseason, and not all of them are. And so somebody's going to be real disappointed, right? You know, South Carolina, maybe Ole Miss, but that's kind of how I think of it. There's no league like that. And so that's incredible. The team I'm kind of most fascinated by is Georgia, because I agree with where we have them ranked, but I do understand how there could be skepticism. Now, look, they were the number 7 national seed last year, but man, Charlie Condon was, and even Corey Collins to a certain degree, were such generational players there that I think maybe we looked at it and maybe took the wrong lesson from Georgia last year. Like, that could be a risk where we looked at it and said, well, the transfer thing worked for Georgia. Well, I think that might be the case, but was it just that Corey Collins and Charlie Condon were two of the best, I don't know, 10 players in the SEC? That could also be the case, right? So I like their pitching staff. It's not the sexiest pitching staff. I think that moniker belongs to Arkansas. Their pitching talent is just ridiculous, at least from a starting standpoint. But with Georgia, I do think there's a little downside risk, because was it the transfers or was it Charlie Condon last year that got them over the hump? And then on A&M, it's the one on paper roster with no holes. They've got Ryan Prager at the front of the rotations. They've got a dude who's proven. They've got, for my money, the best player in the country in Jace LaViolette. And then they just filled around him with stars, and they held that roster together. They lose Jim Schlossnagel to Texas. They just hang on to Michael Early, who is their hitting coach, and the roster sticks together. And that doesn't happen in today's college baseball, even when you elevate an assistant these days. So they're just loaded. It's the only totally well-rounded roster in the SEC, but this is college baseball and all kinds of things happen. So there's still a little bit of mystery about that.
Amongst the mix in the conference, do you have maybe, I won't say a sleeper team, but maybe a dark horse that could surprise somebody that we're not really talking about too much in the preseason?
I think it's Auburn for me. And a couple things there. One is that, you know, they've done, that staff has done such a good job that I don't think it's possible for them to have two bad years like the one they had last year in a row. Like, they've done such a good job there. They also brought in an incredible transfer class of pitchers that I think there are going to be multiple guys in that class that are going to be impact guys right away. They were also more aggressive in the transfer portal. They're one of the programs that I think has warmed up a little bit to the transfer portal piece over the years, the last few years. And so they had brought in a really good class, kind of headlined by Bristol Carter, who is a freshman, you know, I don't know if he was actually on our freshman All-American team, but is a freshman All-American type of guy at East Carolina last year. If you're looking for a question there, it's that, you know, their rotation is probably going to be led by Cade Fisher, who at Florida last year wasn't a good starting pitcher. So can they get him turned around? But I'm buying on Auburn just because I have a hard time imagining they're going to be bad 2 years in a row. So we don't have them ranked, but I wouldn't shock me if they're in the mix to host when it's all said and done.
Last one before we let you run here, Joe. I wanted to get your thoughts on Texas and year one under Jim Schlossnagel, which, I mean, that was definitely the most publicized exit from a coach maybe in the last 10 years of college baseball that I can remember, at least, and how that all went down. It was definitely very toxic. But Jim Schlossnagel now starting in Austin, he's had success everywhere he's been, TCU, Texas A&M most recently. Now he's heading to UT. You know, kind of what your thoughts are early on for his first year leading the Longhorns?
I mean, they're going to win. I mean, say what you will about Jim Schlossnagel, and, you know, obviously it was not a great situation when he left, and there was the whole thing in the press conference after the A&M lost, like that whole deal. But, like, the dude wins, you know, for all criticism people want to throw at him, like, he wins. So never, don't forget, his first year at A&M with a team that finished last in the SEC the year before, he put a roster together that ended up in the Final Four of the College World Series. So I'm not saying Texas is going to be that, because I don't necessarily believe that, but they also held that roster together. And they didn't just elevate an assistant. It's a whole new coaching staff, and he held that roster together. And they have a guy like Jared Jones in Jalen Flores at shortstop, who probably would otherwise be in pro ball without the modern stuff in college baseball, NIL and whatnot. So it's a veteran roster. It's a super talented roster. I think they'll be better than they were last year. You know, they might be a team that's somewhere between host and top eight when it's all said and done. They have that kind of talent, but their floor is pretty high. Like, it's a veteran team. I really like their floor. I don't think this is going to be a situation where new coaching staff comes in and it just doesn't click. I think they'll win and win big eventually. And that might be in year one. Who knows? They certainly did it at A&M.
Joe, definitely appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Like Charlie mentioned, both of us are big fanboys of you and the website, D1 Baseball. Appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, Joe.
Appreciate you guys. Talk to you soon.
Joe Healy, National College Baseball writer and SEC extra on D1Baseball.com. Definitely recommend for all you baseball nuts out there, go check out D1Baseball.com. Great stuff. They break it down. Also, their podcast that they put on YouTube as well, a must watch and listen.